All glories to the dear son of Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Devi. All the three worlds offer prayers unto his lotus feet. In Nilachala he holds the conch shell disc club and lotus flower, while in the town of Nadia he holds a sannyasi staff and water pot. It is said that in olden times, as Lord Ramchandra, he killed the demon Ravan. Then later, as Lord Krishna, he revealed the splendorously opulent pastimes of Goloka. Now he has come again as Lord Gauranga, the golden avatar, endowed with the ecstatic mood of Sri Radha, and has spread widely the chanting of the holy names Hare Krishna. Vasudev Ghosh says with folded hands, he who is Gora is he who is Krishna, is he who is Jagannath. Very sincere gratitude to all the assembled devotees. My sincerest obeisances to each of you. We have been discussing the last few days here in Sri Mayapur Dham a few drops from the ocean of the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in relation to his lila of taking sannyas, which took place specifically in this Nadia area, Navadweep Shantipur. After Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was formally initiated by Keshava Bharati Maharaj in Katwa, he roamed through the Radha Desh with his devotees. He especially recited a particular verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, which Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt in his heart and wanted to present to the world the real spirit of renunciation. Again and again he chanted the sloka, Etam sa astaya paratmanishtir. In this verse, the Brahmin from Abanti Desh is surrendering his life at the lotus feet of Lord Mukunda. In the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, Krishna tells this story to Uddhava. This particular Brahmin from Avanti Desh was very greedy, very self-centered, and caused much pain to others. But as he grew older, many reversals took place in his life. He lost his entire fortune, whatever property he had. All of his family members rejected him. His friends abandoned him. He had nothing. He suffered. And then the people around, they ridiculed him. They persecuted him. They did vile, horrible things to him. The worst possible thing from a material situation that could happen in a person's life happened to him. He lost everything and everyone, and everyone else turned against him. He had nothing and no one. A similar type of situation as Draupadi when she was being stripped by Dushasana in the Kuru's courtyard. But of course the difference is Draupadi had many people who loved her, would do anything for her, but they couldn't. She was helpless and alone. This Brahmin from Avanti Desh, like Draupadi, he was completely helpless and on his own, and he had nothing. But unlike Draupadi, nobody loved him. In fact, practically everybody hated him. Nobody wanted to help him. In that state, he surrendered his life, his body, mind, words, and life to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in his surrender, he chanted this beautiful sloka, where he is expressing that like all the great souls in the past, in parampara, I will surrender my life unconditionally to the service of Lord Mukunda. Because this vast ocean of material birth and death, where there is so much suffering, can only be crossed over by one who surrenders to the loving service of the Supreme Lord, who is personally the Paramatma within the heart of every living being. Tatenu kampam susamikshamano bunjana evatmakritam vipagam. When one is in a difficult situation, even crisis or tragedy, and that person could gratefully fold hands and thank Krishna, I'm yours. Whatever's happening, it's just what I need. I give my life to you. If you can just do that, that alone entitles one to the supreme liberation. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he wasn't rejected. He left the most beautiful of everything. But he did it for one purpose, for the service of Mukunda, the giver of liberation, who has a face like the beautiful Mukunda flower, Kunda flower. Lord Chaitanya wanted to teach that real renunciation is not a formality. It is not based on the type of dress we wear, the type of names that we have. Real renunciation is determined by our spirit of servitude to the Supreme Lord. And in this sense, if we examine the associates of Lord Chaitanya, some were married, some were sannyasis, some were brahmacharis, some were vanaprastas. Rupa Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, they left everything to go to Vrindavan. But Shivananda Sen had several children, a wonderful wife. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu loved him dearly. Ramananda Rai and Swarup Damodar were the two closest companions of the Lord in Puri. One was a grihastha, one was a sannyasi. What did they have in common? Their qualities of such a humble spirit of total desire to serve Lord Mukunda. Atapumbir dvijastreshtas varanashrama vibhagasha shvanushtatasya dharmasya samsidir haritoshana. Whatever our varna, whatever our ashram, our success is to the extent we please Krishna. That's all. Everything else is temporary. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he took sannyas, it appeared to be cruel. Why? What did his wife or his mother or his devotees in Navadvip do to deserve the suffering that he put them through? Why did he leave them after they committed them their whole lives only for him? It was for several reasons. One is he wanted to give them the highest experience of love. Love and separation. As we have explained, when we come together on the spirit, now what we are speaking is completely on the spiritual platform. If we in any way indicate within our minds that our relationships with people in this world are related to what we're speaking, it is a great mistake, and it could be extremely offensive also. Although there is correlation sometimes. But we are speaking now of the love of the pure unfettered soul for God and the love of God for the pure devotee. In the relationships of such prema, separation makes union very, very deep, rooted within the very heart of the soul. Because it creates a deeper necessity. A glass of water, what is its value? Its value is according to how thirsty we are. If we're not thirsty, a glass of water is not worth anything. Just water out of a river. Bottled water you have to pay for. But we're talking now just water out of the river. Somebody gives you a glass of water. If you're not thirsty, it's worth nothing. You just pour it on the grass. But if you're dying of thirst, if you're really, really dying of thirst, then that glass of water is more valuable than your life. It will save your life. If you were dying of thirst and someone gave you a choice of a diamond ring or a glass of water, and you're out in the desert where you can't sell your ring, what will you take? Someone drove up to you and offered you a brand new Mercedes-Benz or a glass of water. You would take the water. It's more valuable than anything money could buy because of the necessity. So separation makes the presence of Krishna an absolute necessity. When Lord Chaitanya left Navadvip to become a sannyasi, and they didn't know if they would ever see him again, how deep that separation was. How deep their appreciation, and especially their absorption. They couldn't think of anything but Krishna, but Mahaprabhu. Love in this world is a perverted reflection. But we understand, I mean, when I say this world, I mean based on the bodily concept of life. But even that type of emotion, if you have a nice relationship with someone and you're together, you're not as absorbed as if your heart is broken. If that person dies, yes? Just like we all have this experience. We love our friends. We love our relatives. We don't think about them all that much. But when they die, we can't stop thinking about them. We're crying for their loss, totally absorbed. We're thinking, why didn't I meet them at this time? There's so many things I could have done for them. Why, if I could have done it all over again? When they're alive, you don't think that way. But the nature of the world, time heals a broken heart. If somebody dies or leaves us, after some time, we come to grips with it. But on the spiritual platform, Krishna left Vrindavan when he was 10 and a half years old. And 110 years later, the gopis and the gopas and everyone in Vrindavan were still totally immersed, ever increasingly absorbed in remembering Krishna. That is spiritual love. And when Krishna returned, what a incomprehensible experience when he finally did return to bring them all back to Goloka. Our acharyas teach us that there are various types of separation. There are four particular types. Purvaraga, which is the separation one feels just before meeting the beloved. Just like the gopis, before meeting Krishna, just by hearing about him, they absolutely fell in love with him. Just by hearing his holy names, even before they ever saw him. Their lives were completely surrendered to him. And they were feeling such deep separation. When will I see him? Or even later, before the meetings of Krishna and gopis, when they would hear Krishna's flute, that Purvaraga would come, and they would feel such deep, deep, deep separation, such a deep necessity, I have to meet him. The next category is mana, which means even when you're with Krishna, there can be deep feelings of separation due to some differences between Krishna and gopis. Krishna may neglect Radharani. And so even though together, she's feeling a very, very deep separation. We have a Brijabasi here who tomorrow is going to tell us a pastime about the Manlila from Bhadrasana, of the pastimes where Radha and Krishna are together, but still there's such a feeling of separation because of a difference of views, neglect toward each other as a expression of love. But it's not done out of disgust. It's done out of love. And then there is prema vaichitya, where an occurrence takes place when the lover and beloved are together that causes such feelings that we are apart. There is that beautiful story, Radha and Krishna were together, sitting in a beautiful kunja. And a bumblebee came and began to buzz around Srimati Radharani's lotus feet. And so Krishna told Madhu Mangal, please chase this bumblebee away. So Madhu Mangal chased the bumblebee away and came back and said, Madhu is gone, he will never return. I'm telling this story because Madhu Mangal Prabhu is here. And even though she's sitting right next to Krishna, touching Krishna, when Madhu Mangal said, Madhu is gone and will never return, Krishna's name is Madhusudan. So Radharani, due to her intensified love, supreme love, she was thinking, oh, Madhu has gone and he will never return. She was thinking that Krishna's gone, even though they're holding hands. And then she falls off of their seat where she's sitting with him, and she's crying and crying and crying, Madhu is gone and he will never return. And Krishna sees this, and he feels such separation from Radharani that he falls off the seat and is crying, Radharani, I'm apart from her. And the combination of their tears filled a body of water called Prem Sarovar, one of the very holy places even today in Vrindavan. Prema Vaichitya, where they're together, but due to their love, some situation makes them feel separation. And then there is Prabhas, where there's actual a duration of distance between Krishna and gopis. One is a short distance, and one is, a very short duration of time, and the other is a very long duration of time, like when Krishna goes to Mathura. So Rupa Goswami explains that these various sentiments, emotions of separation deepen one's love so greatly. Because when we're absorbed in Krishna, Krishna's absorbed in us. And he's reciprocating. Krishna told the gopis, and he told the residents of Dwarka also, when the gopis are feeling separation from me, I cannot resist but to be conquered by that feeling of love, and I'm embracing them within their heart of hearts. So separation brings the deepest internal unity. When Krishna is in front of us, the love of our heart goes outside toward him. But when Krishna is in separation from us, the love of our heart goes deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper within. And cultivating love in separation is much safer than cultivating love in union. Because the beautiful, loving relations of Krishna and his devotees can corrupt our spiritual lives if we impose our material tendencies upon them, which is very difficult not to do when we are conditioned souls. But love and separation, if it is done carefully, cultivated carefully, that danger is minimized. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada taught us that Lord Chaitanya and the six Goswamis especially preferred to teach the world how to cultivate love and separation. And Lord Chaitanya himself, if we think that we are very great devotees, then we should remember the Lord himself, who is the greatest devotee, Krishna, in the mood of Sri Radha's love. And he's telling his devotees, I do not have even a drop of love for Krishna. If I had even a single drop, I would not be able to live in separation from him. The fact that I'm breathing, that I'm living, means I have no love. That's the nature of love, pure love. One who actually is tasting love of God becomes Trinadapi Sudichena, becomes humble like a blade of grass, tolerant like a tree, eager to offer all respect to others and expect none in return. Such a lover of God can constantly taste this unlimited sweetness of the holy names. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was wandering through Radha Desh, one night he was with Mukunda, Chandrasekhar, and Nityananda Prabhu. In the middle of the night, he just left them. And one of them woke up. It was still pitch dark. They saw that the Lord was gone. They were looking everywhere, but in the darkness, and they're just out in fields and in forests, where to look? They were searching everywhere and anywhere, but they couldn't find him. And finally they heard the Lord was crying in separation from Krishna. Where is Krishna? Where is the son of Nand Maharaj? Where did he go? When will I find him? How can I serve him? And he was crying in separation, chanting the holy names so loud that they heard him 2 miles away. And they just ran after that sound, following the sound vibration, and finally found the Lord laying in a forest field. And we heard the story yesterday of how the Lord came to Shantipur and the beautiful reunion with his devotees that took place at that time. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas to draw from the hearts of the residents of Navadvip those deepest, most precious feelings of love and separation. He was giving them the highest experience, an experience that pierced their hearts to the deepest possible level with love. When Lord Ramchandra banished Sita to forest, actually everywhere in the world, people ask me, why did he do that? As much in the West as in India. I was recently in New York, and there were no Indians. They were all Caucasian Americans or African Americans. Some yoga students, I was speaking to them, giving a class, and this was their most heated question. How could we tolerate that Ram banished his wife? What did she do wrong? For the rest of her life. Unless we hear from the acharyas, we cannot understand the scriptures directly. The scriptures say it as it is, but without the purports of the acharyas, we really, our mind can imagine so many things. What is the essence? Krishna gave gopis the highest experience of separation. He stayed with them for 10 and a half years and left for 110 plus. And there, and the cowherd boys, same thing. All the residents of Vrindavan, Vatsalyaras, Madhuryaras, Sakyaras, Santaras, and their total absorption is considered the highest level of Krishna consciousness. Ram wanted to share that similar experience that he gave Radharani in his form of Krishna. He wanted to share that with Sita. But it's reciprocal, because Lord Ramchandra felt as much separation from Sita as Sita did from Ram. He was in as much pain as she was, in his heart of hearts. The ecstatic pain of love. Krishna said about gopis, that why do I not go back to Vrindavan? Because their love is so high in separation. There's nothing more I can give them. If I go back, it can't get any higher than it already is. But still, eventually he did. Ever increasing. On Sarat Purnima, which we celebrated this month, Sri Radha and gopis renounced everything for Krishna. When he played his flute under the Bamsibat tree, on bank of Yamuna, they left husbands, children, home, wealth, reputation, security, everything, without a second thought. Not because they could enjoy Krishna. Because they wanted Krishna to enjoy them. That's all. No selfish desire. Krishna was calling them. And they were his property forever. And Krishna at that time told the Braja Gopis that for your love for me, you've given up everything. This is unparalleled. I cannot repay you even in an entire lifetime of Lord Brahma. And Krishna is the proprietor of everything that exists. He's the proprietor of all love. He's the proprietor of all mystic powers. He's the proprietor of all material and spiritual worlds. And he says, with all that I have, I cannot repay you in a lifetime of Brahma. Please be satisfied with the love that you have. But Krishna wanted to repay them in a reciprocal way. In the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he renounced all the same things that they did. His wife, mother, family, home, friends, security, everything. Krishna renounced everything for Radha's love, as Radha renounced everything for Krishna's love. Krishna renounced everything as Lord Chaitanya to taste Radha's love in full. And he did it all along with the essential purpose of giving the world pure devotional service. He allowed his devotees to go through that separation, and he suffered that same separation from them so that he could give all of us pure devotional service. Why did Krishna leave Vrindavan? Because Kamsa kept sending asuras. He sent Putana and Trinavarta, Batsasura, Aghasura, Bakasura, Keshi, Aristasura. They were all being sent by Mathura, one after another. And it was a very great disturbance to Vrindavan. Krishna wanted to go to the root cause, Kamsa. Kamsa was sending them. He wouldn't come himself. So Krishna went, he left Vrindavan to go to Mathura to conquer the opposition. But after he conquered Kamsa, then he realized, well, he already knew, but he saw around him there was Jarasandha and Bhomasura and Banasura and Kalyana, and then there was Salva and Shishupal and Dantavakra. So he didn't go back. Similarly, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was enjoying the same rasas of Vrindavan with the same devotees of Vrindavan here in Navadvipa. Why did he take sannyas and leave? For the purpose of conquering the opposition. The people who were against devotional service. The people who were blasphemous, offensive. The purpose, people who were promoting materialism in the name of spirituality. But unlike Krishna, who conquered people with his Sudarshan Chakra or through other means, Lord Chaitanya did not kill anyone. He was perfectly nonviolent in that sense. Of course, Krishna was perfectly nonviolent too. Because after killing them, they'd all get liberated. Some of them went back to Godhead. But Lord Chaitanya, he kept everyone's bodies alive. And with the weapon of the holy name, he killed their demoniac mentality and awakened their original pure love of God. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left Navadvipa, met his devotees in Sachimata and Shantipur, and was requested to make his residence in Jagannath Puri. He traveled by foot to Sri Puri Dham. And from there, he wanted to unrestrictedly give Krishna consciousness, pure love of God through Harinam Kirtan to everyone and everyone. He told his devotees, I want to take a tour of South India. First of all, when he first got to Puri, he delivered Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who was the greatest scholar in the world. He was a Mayavadi. He had no bhakti whatsoever. He had no real appreciation of bhakti. It was just through intellectual discrimination to discriminate between matter and spirit, and through this process to merge into the impersonal, unmanifested absolute. And he practically memorized so many scriptures from all the different theses of so-called philosophies and Vedic knowledge. He was declared the greatest master. Kings, sannyasis, everyone was coming to him. Lord Chaitanya conquered his heart. And he became a gentle, sweet, humble devotee, a pure lover of Krishna, with the same intellectual prowess, but now using it in the humble service of the Lord. And King Prataparudra as well. Just by hearing about Lord Chaitanya from Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, the king surrendered his life and soul. Then the Lord said, I want to look for my brother Vishwaroop. It's been a long time since we've met. And he was, in his heart, eager to find his elder brother. But at the same time, his real reason was to give prema bhakti to everyone. And wherever he roamed, whoever he saw, because he was a sannyasi, they'd bow to him. They'd open their hearts to hear from him. He would just smile at them with that loving gaze and say, chant Hare Krishna. And because they chanted with such a desire just to please him, immediately love of God awakened in their hearts. This was the miracles he performed when he was personally, physically present. If we ask the question, how is that possible? The obvious answer is, why should the Lord appear if he's going to do things that are possible? Yes. Things that are so-called possible are happening at every moment. But actually, if we look deep beneath the veneer of what's possible, everything we look at in this world is impossible. Yes, for me to be sitting here talking, it's very possible. But if you actually, you know, how does man have, or woman have the ability to talk? Something very deep. You know, what is this most complicated and intricate of all computers, the human brain. It's all interconnected with the vocal cords and everything else, and it gives us the power to talk. It's really impossible. Every blade of grass, every tree, if we really look to the origin of how it's actually happening. Miracles everywhere. But because they're commonplace, miracles that we see all the time, we just think are very normal things. Yes? Because we take it for granted. Now, when the supreme absolute truth comes to this world, he comes in every yuga, but Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he descends as Krishna in the mood of Radharani only once in a day of Brahma. That's about 4,320,000,000 years. Now, if he's going to come that rare in his original divine supreme form, Is he going to take all that trouble to do normal things that we think are possible? The absolute truth, the controller of all controllers, the cause of all causes. So when Lord Chaitanya wants to spread love of God, it's just one glance. Just one glance from his beautiful lotus-like eyes. But still we have our free will. The Lord will not interfere with our free will. He just wants us to just open our hearts a little, and then he'll give us everything. He was giving love of God, but still the blasphemers were against him. He took sannyas just so that they would open their hearts a little, then he could give them love of God. Because it has to be by their own will. They have to want it. Five years after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, one of the most historical, memorable of all moments, he decided to return to Navadvip. And we'll see just what happened when he came back. May I share the story with you, please? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to his devotees, I will go to Vrindavan, but on the way, I will bathe in the Ganga in Navadvip. So he came to the house of Vidyavachaspati, who was the brother of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He came with just a few of his devotees. And he told Vidyavachaspati that I am on my way to Mathura and Vrindavan. I have come here just to take my bath in the Ganga for a few days. I do not want anybody else to know that I'm here. If you keep it completely secret so I can have my privacy and seclusion, then I will remain here with you for some days. Oh, Vidyavachaspati, he fell at Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet and he offered his dandavat pranams. And with such gratefulness, he said, this is the supreme fortune of my life, that you have come to my home. You have given me service to your lotus feet. My whole family, all my ancestors, my forefathers, everyone is supremely blessed because you have come to my home. No one will know that you are here. I will completely keep it secret. But how long can you keep the sun hidden at noon? Somehow or other, the word spread. The great Nimai Pandit, who had left us 5 long years ago to take sannyas, has returned to Navadvip. He was across the river in a place called Vidyanagar. Did all of you go to Vidyanagar? Please raise. Please say Hari Bol if you visited Vidyanagar. Very nice. So then you already know the story. Better than knowing, you have seen it, you have realized it. So this is where Vidyavachaspati was living. Suddenly the word spread in all directions. And thousands, then hundreds and thousands, then millions of people were not walking, but running to Vidyavachaspati's house. And they were running in such enthusiasm that the roads were totally congested with just human bodies running. No more could fit on the roads. So hundreds and thousands of people were just running through the forests. And they were so enthusiastic that they were running right through areas that were walls of thorns. But they didn't care. They just ran right through all the thorns. In fact, they made perfect roads throughout the forest just by so many people trampling. And nobody stubbed their toe once. Nobody got a single cut from a thorn. No one felt the slightest inconvenience. How is that possible? Because of their enthusiasm to see Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was controlling material nature to facilitate them to come to see them. They were coming from four directions. So many hundreds and thousands of people came to the river, they had to cross the river. Now, it's very common in India for people to not learn how to swim. For you Westerners, it was inconceivable to me, because almost every Western person knows how to swim when they're children. But when we first started having yatras, we go to a river and I'd ask, how many people know how to swim? And out of hundreds, two or three people raised their hands. So we asked them to take swimming lessons, but I don't know how many know how to. So most of these people don't know how to swim, unless you're a fisherman or something like that. So they came to the river, and Ganga's very strong current, and very wide. So there were ferries, big boats, small boats. These people were so enthusiastic that within seconds, the boatman was thinking, oh, today I'm going to make a fortune, just back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. But within a moment, thousands of people were on his boat. And the next moment, the boat fell apart. It was finished. Collapsed. Just little pieces going down the river. And the boatman was thinking, now I'm out of business altogether. And the people, they were charitable, whatever they had. If somebody had a spare rupee, or if they had a spare conch shell, or if they, some of them just took their shirt off and said, here, you know, use this for another boat. And everyone was just giving them something, an extra piece of clothing they had. Now, how are they going to cross the river? All the boats in the Ganga fell apart. Haribol. So some of them, because they didn't know how to swim, they took a clay pot and held it with their arms around it, because clay pots float if there's no water inside. And in this way, they were kicking their legs with their clay pots. Try to picture this. Tens and thousands of people with clay pots somehow trying to get across the wide river Ganga. And other people, they just took banana trees, because it's wood, and wood floats. And they would just take part of a banana tree and just grab onto it and kick their legs and float. Thousands and thousands and thousands of people like that. And other people, they couldn't find any more clay pots, they couldn't find any more banana trees, so they just jumped in. They were so eager to see Lord Chaitanya, they literally forgot that they didn't know how to swim. And in forgetfulness that they don't know how to swim, they swam all the way across. No need for lessons. Because of their eagerness, their lobha, their greed to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was giving all facility. He was removing all impediments. That's the most important thing, is our desire. If we have that strong desire
Vyavashayatmaka budhir ekeha kurunandana bahusha kahyanantascha budhayo vyavashayanam. Those who are on this path are resolute in purpose. Their aim is one. They have dhritavrata, determination. And Krishna miraculously removes obstacles and gives us the power to overcome them. So the Ganga just had millions of people at one time crossing it. And then when they crossed, and they were constantly crossing, they were running to Vidyanagar. And they were speaking to each other. They were embracing each other. Everyone was embracing. Even enemies were embracing, because they were going to see Lord Chaitanya. Just the anticipation to see Lord Chaitanya brought so much love in their hearts, they loved everyone. And many of these people were the people who were the blasphemers, the people who were offending Vaishnavas, offending Lord Chaitanya. They were most desperate to see the Lord. Some were saying, when I meet Lord Chaitanya, I will catch his feet with my hands and I will press my head against his feet and I will surrender my life, my soul, my everything. Somebody else said, my heart, I will ask for only one wish, that my son is a compulsive gambler. Please help him give up the habit. And somebody else was saying, I will ask for only one gift, that for the rest of eternity, my only desire is to make you happy, my Lord. And another person said, when I get to Vidyavachaspati's house, I'm going to beg the Lord for a gift. I'm going to pray that let me, birth after birth after birth, always be absorbed in remembering your beautiful golden form and never, ever, ever forget you for a moment. That's the only benediction I desire. In this way, they were conversing with each other, sharing their hearts, as they were swimming across the Ganga, floating across the Ganga, and then running through the fields. When they finally came to the area of Vidyavachaspati's house, all the fields, the whole village and town, everything was filled with a mass of people. And they were all running up to Vidyavachaspati. We know the Lord is in your house. Please let me see him for just a moment. And as if with one voice, all these millions of people were chanting, Hadi, Hadi.
Hadi, Hadi.
Hadi, Hadi.
Hadi, Hadi.
It was so beautiful, so loud, with such devotion. These people were in separation from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for 5 long years. And Lord Chaitanya heard their chanting and smiled. He came out of the house, raised his long golden arms, which were like pillars of beauty. And with gazing upon all these eager people to receive his mercy, he gave them the simple message. Chant Hare Krishna. Chant about Krishna. Sing about Krishna. Worship Krishna. Speak about Krishna. Always serve Krishna. Krishna's your wealth. Krishna's your life. Krishna's your very breath. Chant Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
And they began to chant. How they were chanting and chanting and chanting, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was gazing upon them so happily. And people so eagerly wanted to see Lord Chaitanya in these crowds, according to Vrindavan Das Thakur. Now this may sound impossible, but in the Lord's pastimes, impossible things become most possible. Thousands of people at the same time were trying to climb the same tree. And there were more people on the tree than there were leaves. And they were at the farthest branches and twigs, and they were just, they didn't think that I can fall. I'm standing on a twig. They just wanted to see Lord Chaitanya. And not a single person fell down. Not a single person got hurt. Not a single branch from a tree broke. And then thousands of people crowded on the single roof of a house. Some of them were thatched roofs. And not a single house collapsed. There wasn't a single injury. Because the Lord, by his internal potency, was reciprocating, facilitating, and protecting his devotees. They were crying out, "My dear Lord, you have descended to deliver us." And thousands and thousands, tens and thousands of people were crying out, "I am so sinful. I blasphemed you. For years I blasphemed your devotees. I had no faith in you. I thought you were... I was thinking all these Vaishnavas are simply disturbance. They're all fake. They're all fraud. I believe the lying propaganda." Some were saying, "I was the one spreading the lying propaganda. Please forgive us. Forgive us. We surrender our hearts to you." And hearing their prayers, because the Lord is, there's hundreds and thousands of voices at the same time, but the Lord is hearing every one of them and reciprocating. And because they were sincere, and with that sincere, repentant, humble heart, they chanted, "Hari, Hari.
Hari, Hari."
The Lord intoxicated them with ecstatic love for Krishna. No one wanted to return home. Now sometimes, like in this yatra, it might be crowded. Some of you are wondering, when I get back to my house in Bombay, things will be so nice. But they had no house. They were so absorbed in Lord Chaitanya, they forgot everything else. Even if they were massed in a crushing crowd of millions in India, they wanted nothing else. Just the fact that the Lord was seeing them and they were seeing the Lord. No one wanted to go home. They were happy to remain forever there. Suddenly, Lord Chaitanya, without saying anything to anyone, with his associates, slipped away. By his yogamaya potency, nobody even saw him leave. But then they were all in separation. They had just met him. This union and separation, how they work on each other, how they complement each other, how they increase each other. Suddenly he was gone. They were looking for him. And they were crying for him. And they understood that he came out of the house because they said, "Hari, Hari." So they chanted even louder. All these millions of voices, everyone raised their voice chanting,
"Hari, Hari."
But he didn't come. Even louder.
"Hari, Hari."
Again and again. Thank you very much. I needed some rest.
They were exciting. They were anticipated for the Lord's return.
But when hours passed and he didn't return, their innocent eagerness turned into anger toward Vidyavachaspati.
Individuals were coming up to him. Now, please understand, Vidyavachaspati is feeling as much of the pain of separation as all of them, probably more. All of a sudden, the Lord's disappeared. Where did he go? Why? How? Who's with him? He was totally bewildered. He was the most bewildered because he didn't know where the Lord was. Everybody else, they didn't think they were bewildered. They knew exactly where the Lord was in Vidyavachaspati's house. So one person would take him off to the side. Come, I just want to confidentially say, I know for sure that he's in your house. I won't bring anybody else with me. Just take me in to see the Lord. I won't tell anyone. And Vidyavachaspati said, he's not there. He's not in my house. And hundreds of people were coming with the same requests, and he was saying the same thing. And soon thousands were shouting, Vidyavachaspati, we want to see him. We know he's in your house. He says, he's not in my house. Then they started chastising him, spreading nasty rumors about him. You're supposed to be a devotee. Devotees are supposed to be saintly people. A saintly person isn't selfish. You don't care anything about our liberation. You just want to enjoy the Lord yourself for your own liberation. What kind of a human being are you? Even an ordinary person, if he has many, many sweets, he distributes them as friends. He doesn't just eat them all himself. But the sweetest of all sweet things, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is in your house. You know where he is, and you just want to taste him and enjoy him all by yourself, and you don't care anything if we all die and go to hell. Vidyavachaspati is a cheater. He's a liar. He's cruel.
Poor Vidyavachaspati. He's just a simple Brahmin. And people are really angry and really nasty, and he doesn't know what to do, and he doesn't know where the Lord is, and his heart is broken, and his mind is in pieces. Then one person comes up to him and whispers in his ear, the Lord has gone to Kulia. Vidyavachaspati screams out to everyone, you have called me a cheater, you have called me a liar, but now I'm going to prove my innocence. The Lord has gone to Kulia. I have received this information. Now everyone, let us go to Kulia to see the Lord. And they all followed Vidyavachaspati. At least they began to. But then the news spread in all directions, even people who were not there in Vidyanagar, that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had gone to Kulia. And they were many times more people running to Kulia ground. And some of them had boarded ships, boats. And the boatman somehow got away before too many people were on it, but there were still people swimming and jumping on it, and soon the boat would sink. There were hundreds of boats sinking at the same time. And the Ganga's very deep. In the middle of the river, sinking, and every single boat, mystically, when it just about came to the level where the people were before it went all the way down, a little mountain came out of the bottom of the Ganga and supported it, and it hit some land. So not a single boat sank. But what to do? They're in the middle of the Ganga, and they're stuck on this little piece of earth and a boat. They didn't think about it. They were too eager to see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All these millions of people were jumping off boats and swimming across. And somehow or other, shopkeepers, they were thinking, this is fantastic. there were thousands and thousands of shops being set up all along the way. And everyone was becoming rich as they were all going to somehow or other reach Kuliagram. The entire area of Kulia was, what is the word? It's covered with human beings. And they were all looking for Lord Chaitanya. But nobody told Vidyavachaspati where he was in Kulia. Kulia is a big area. So Vidyavachaspati was really in anxiety. I have to find him. If I don't find him, what's going to happen to me? So he was looking frantically everywhere, everywhere, everywhere. And then by Krishna's grace, Mahaprabhu's grace, he found him in the house of Madhava Das. And meanwhile, all these masses of people were crying out, Hari, Hari!
Hari, Hari!
Hari, Hari!
Hari, Hari!
Trying to somehow or other attract him. Vidyavachaspati came to the house and he met the Lord. And there he told the Lord that everyone has been calling me a liar and a cheater. Please save me. And even for a second, just even for 1 second, give your audience to these people. And he heard millions of voices chanting the holy names of the Lord. You may wonder how all these people crossed over the rivers and crossed through forests without any impediment. According to the scriptures, for one who is enthusiastic to serve the Lord and who takes shelter of the Lord within their heart, the entire ocean of material existence becomes no more difficult to cross over than the quantity of water in a small hoof print of a calf. So now the farmland, the village, the town is crawling with people, all chanting Hari Hari. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after hearing the words from Vidyavachaspati, who he loved so dearly, he smiled and immediately came out of the house and raised his arms and cried out, Hari Hari!
Hari Hari!
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inspired them so much that there were thousands of kirtan groups with millions of people chanting. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu both were so enthusiastic, they embraced each other and began to dance with all the people. They danced and danced from one kirtan group to another kirtan group, dancing among all the people for hours and hours and hours. In this way, Vipralamba Sambhoga. The separation of the devotees in Navadvip had transformed into the most absolutely glorious, heartfelt, loving reunion of joy. As Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was reciprocating personally with every single person within his heart of hearts. After hours and hours of kirtan, and everyone watching the Lord dancing in ecstasy, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made himself available to the people who were the most cruel and the most hateful toward him and his devotees.
because their hearts had changed. One Brahmin approached him and said, "My Lord, before you took sannyas, I didn't have any appreciation whatsoever for you. I didn't know who you were. In fact, I was criticizing you, and I was criticizing all of your devotees. I was saying in the age of Kali, for a person to call themselves a Vaishnav, it's all a fraud. No one could be a Vaishnav in the age of Kali. They're all pretenders. They're all just exploiting people for their own selfish interests. This is what I was spreading around. This is what I was saying. But when you took sannyas, when you left, it had such an effect on my heart that I realized that I was the worst sinful person, blaspheming the greatest people on earth." And for 5 years he was living with this shame. He said, "Please tell me, what can I do to rectify my sins of blasphemy?" And Lord Chaitanya gave an instruction which is universal for all time. Can I tell? He said, if a person drinks deadly poison, that poison has the power to destroy him. But if a person, after taking the poison, stops drinking poison forevermore and drinks amrita, nectar, then that nectar will nullify all the effects of the poison and award that person eternal life. To criticize Krishna, or to criticize Krishna's devotees, is like drinking poison with your mouth. It has the most devastating effect on one's spiritual life. But by praising Krishna's names and by chanting the glories of the Vaishnavas, the devotees, that is like nectar. And if a person simply gives up his criticism or her criticism and spends his or her days chanting the praises of the devotees and the names of Krishna, then all their offenses will be nullified and love of God will awaken within their hearts. So my instruction to you is, with your mouth, spend your days for the rest of your life chanting the glories of the Vaishnavas and chant the holy names. That was a universal instruction for all of us. Another Brahmin named Devananda Pandit, he had committed an offense to Srivas Thakur long before. We're almost out of time, so I'll fast forward. But he had no sense of devotion. He looked down on the devotees. Although factually Devananda Pandit was very moral, very austere, very clean, very simple, he had all good qualities. But he just couldn't appreciate the devotees. So therefore, Lord Chaitanya never gave him love of God. In fact, Lord Chaitanya was very angry with him at the times. But after Lord Chaitanya took sannyas, something happened to Devananda Pandit. His heart began to change. He was struck by the Lord's decision to leave home. And then Vakreshwar Pandit, one of the most intimate, loving associates of Lord Chaitanya, whose body and heart was filled with love of God, he was performing kirtan from place to place. Devananda Pandit was so attracted by Vakreshwar Pandit's humility and devotion, his heart transformed. He invited Vakreshwar to do kirtan in his ashram. And he personally served Vakreshwar Pandit. And as Vakreshwar Pandit was dancing and dancing in ecstasy, Devananda Pandit would keep the crowds away from him with a stick, protecting him. And when Vakreshwar Pandit would be very exhausted and lay on the ground, Devananda Pandit would catch him and massage his legs and wipe the dirt from his body. He loved Vakreshwar Pandit. He fell in love with this Vaishnav. Because of that, his heart completely opened to receive the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. But he was so humble, because he knew how offensive he was in the past, that from a distance, he offered his obeisances to the Lord. The Lord saw him and said, Devananda, because you have served with appreciation Vakreshwar Pandit, that great devotee, please come to me. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how he loved to glorify his devotees. He said, Krishna always resides in Vakreshwar Pandit's heart. Therefore, wherever he goes, all holy places are there. When Vakreshwar Pandit sings, it is Krishna singing through him to purify all living beings. Because you have served with affection my devotee, Vakreshwar Pandit, please come. I am yours. And Devananda Pandit begged forgiveness with a humble and sincere and genuine heart and asked Lord Chaitanya that my whole life I recite the Srimad Bhagavatam. Please tell me how I should recite the Bhagavatam and what should I do in my life. Lord Chaitanya very elaborately explained, from the beginning, middle, and end, Srimad Bhagavatam teaches one thing, pure devotional service, pure bhakti. It is the ultimate perfection of life. Vedavyasa wrote all the Vedas, but was not satisfied. But when Narada Muni told him to write Srimad Bhagavatam, after discussing the glories of pure devotion, Vedavyasa was perfectly fulfilled. When you recite Bhagavatam, and please go ahead, do it, enlighten people in pure devotion. Devananda Pandit attained perfection. And then Gopal Chapala came. The poor man so seriously offended Srivas Thakur by trying to destroy his reputation and destroy his life. He contracted miserable leprosy and suffered for years. But he came there to Kuliagram and fell at the feet of Mahaprabhu with a genuinely sincere heart. And after getting the forgiveness of Srivas Thakur, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wiped away his leprosy, gave him perfect health, both physically and spiritually. He gave him the highest perfection of love of God. And Gopal Chakravarti, who had offended Haridas Thakur, he also got leprosy. He blasphemed Haridas Thakur so cruelly, with such evil intentions. But he came to Kulia and begged forgiveness. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu not only forgave him, but gave him the precious jewel of all jewels, loving devotional service to Krishna. In this way, Kuliagram is known as the place where the Lord forgave even the greatest offenders. In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after 5 long years of separation, returned to Navadvipa. And his mission was successful. All the people that escaped the net of his mercy were now totally caught in that net of ecstatic love of God. And the whole Navadvipa, without any exceptions, everyone was dancing in ecstasy, in perfect Krishna consciousness, loudly chanting the holy names. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he writes, in the mood of a Navadvipvasi who was a personal associate of the Lord at Srivasangam, and he writes that he's seeing Lord Chaitanya on the rooftop of Vidyavachaspati. And in the mood of the residents of Vrindavan, he is asking the Lord, please take off your sannyas robes and come back to Srivasangam and do kirtan with us. We're yours. Bhaktivinoda explains that in Kurukshetra, the residents of Vrindavan want to meet Krishna. After long years of separation, there was Nanda Yashoda, the cowherd boys with Subal and Stoka Krishna and Sridhama, Madhu Mangal, and there was the gopis of Radharani and Lalita and Vishaka. They all came to meet Krishna. But Radharani and gopis and all the Brijavasis, when they saw him, he was dressed like a royal prince. They could not relate to that. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was performing Ratha Yatra in Puri, this was his mood, the mood of the gopis meeting Krishna at Kurukshetra. And he reveals that beautiful lila in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Lord Chaitanya, in the mood of Srimati Radharani, is speaking to Lord Jagannath. She's begging, please, please come back to Vrindavan. It is said that one, Vrindavan is my mind. Vrindavan is my heart. The residents of Vrindavan cannot leave Vrindavan. Godhead is light and Maya is darkness. Chanting of the holy names brings light into the darkness of Kali. The residents of Vrindavan, this is a very intimate discussion. Why not just move to Dwarka and live with Krishna? Because they knew in their heart of hearts that Krishna enjoys the ultimate most pleasure in Vrindavan. And they wanted to be there for him. Because he promised he would return.
And in separation, they couldn't even die because that promise kept them alive. And it couldn't, they couldn't go anywhere else because they understood Krishna's highest pleasure is to be in Vrindavan. We have to be here for him. But he's not coming. He's not coming. Their only thought, their only desire was for Krishna's pleasure. So there at the Ratha Yatra, Lord Chaitanya is praying in the mood of the Radharani and the Brijabasis. That we are now meeting you here. You are Dwarka Krishna in Kurukshetra. There are the sound of rattling chariots and the calling of elephants. We want to bring you back to Vrindavan, where there's flower gardens and kadamba trees, the buzzing of bees, and the chirping of birds. And here in Kurukshetra, you are dressed like a royal prince. We want you to take that off and come back to Vrindavan. We long to see you as a simple cowherd boy, not with armor and crowns. And we want to see you with a simple peacock feather in your hair and the gunjamala, just simple seeds around your neck, holding your flute, only your flute. Seeing you here in Kurukshetra as a prince, we do not find even a fraction of a drop compared to the ocean of happiness that we share with you in Vrindavan. Please come back to Vrindavan. You're our family. In Vrindavan, you're not the king. You're just one of us. Please return. You sent Uddhava to tell us that we should meditate on you and you will be there in the meditation. But we're not yogis. We're gopis. How can you give us this mystic yogic process? We just want to serve you and please you. Don't you see? We're suffering in a vast, unlimited ocean of separation for you. And we're being swallowed by the massive Timangila fish of our aspiration to render personal service to you. Srimati Radharani said, I don't care about my own unhappiness, but look at Yashoda and Nanda. Their faces have shriveled away. They're about to die, lonely for you. Do you want to kill your own mother and father? Do you not think about them? Do you not think about Govardhan Hill or the river Yamuna or the beautiful forest where you perform your Rasa Leela? Is it that you want to kill us all? Or is it that you want to return and give us the greatest happiness? Because our happiness is your happiness. In this way, Bhaktivinoda Thakura explains that one of the most critical moments in the history of Krishna Leela is when the gopis met Krishna at Kurukshetra, because they were so close but so far. They longed to bring him back to Vrindavan. And Krishna responded. He said, I am crying day and night in separation from all of you, the gopas, the gopis, and of everyone, you especially, Srimati Radharani. I live for you. You are the very life of my life. In the love that we share for each other, to be apart, neither of us could possibly live.
knowing that every single day I pray to Lord Narayan. And by his grace, I every day come to Vrindavan and spend the entire day there having pastimes with all of you within your hearts. Because in separation from Krishna, they're not only chanting his name, they're remembering and singing about the beautiful pastimes with him. And actually, it's happening. He's there in their hearts having those pastimes with them. I come every day just to keep you alive and to keep me alive. And then I return to Dwarka as a formality. I left Vrindavan because of the opposition. So many demons. There's only two or four more demons left. I promise you, within 10 or 20 days, I will return to Vrindavan and we will be together. And it was this mood that the gopis in their hearts, when they returned to Vrindavan, they made chariots for Krishna, Balaram, and Subhadra to bring them home. This is Rath Yatra. Bhaktivinod Thakur, in the mood of one of the devotees of Srivasangam, he was praying to Lord Chaitanya just like the gopis of Vrindavan. Here in Vidyanagar, you are in the dress of a sannyasi. We don't like this shaved head. We want you to grow your hair back. We don't like these drab saffron robes. We want you to be the Nimai, the Gauranga we knew, with those beautiful jewels and beautiful golden silks. And wandering about through the forest, come back home. You're one of us. And let us enjoy together the highest pleasures. Again in Navadvip Dham and Srivasangam, performing Nam Sankirtan with our arms raised, chanting the holy names. And in this way, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed to the world the highest treasures of pure love in Sri Navadvip Dham. And Bhaktivinod Thakur churned that nectar to its very essence and shared it with all of us. Thank you very much. And His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, he took the Leela and the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and this essence of the essence of all nectar that Bhaktivinod Thakur churned and which was further refined by Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada took that and shared it with all the world. That was the very essence of the purpose of Lord Chaitanya taking sannyas, the very essence of the purpose of his descending into this world. Srila Prabhupada gave his life to fulfill it by giving the world the holy names. And the path of pure love. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. I thank you very much.